Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back. My next guest is Marcus Sheridan. He is the founder of The Sales Lion, and we're going to talk about how he's in the business of trust. In other words, he helps companies build trust. And some folks would call this content marketing, but Marcus understands it's much more than that, which is exactly what he's going to talk about on today's show. Marcus, thanks very much for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Bill, it's my pleasure. Excited to be here. Hopefully I'll say something that brings some value to your listeners.
Well, I'm sure you will. It sounds very interesting, and the name of your company is The Sales Lion, and that intrigues me right off the bat. So tell me a little bit about that, how you started The Sales Lion, and what you do for folks.
Well, it's a funny story because I'm actually a pool guy, and that's how I started. I started a swimming pool company in 2001 called River Pools and Spas. And to make a long story really short, we were doing okay here in Virginia, Maryland area, up until the market collapsed in 2008. And by 2009, by January that year, I went through a period of 3 straight weeks where we were overdrawn our bank account. I thought I was going to lose the business. And every consultant that I talked to said, hey, you need to file bankruptcy. But, of course, if I did that, I was going to lose my home. My two business partners were going to lose their home. And so that's when I discovered this thing called inbound or content marketing that we're hearing so much about these days. And to make a long story really short, and I'm sure we'll talk about it here in this interview, but our swimming pool website ended up becoming the most trafficked website in the world for swimming pools. And it went so well that I just wanted to talk about what I had done, because to me it was amazing. I felt every business owner should know about this. And so I started this blog at the time. It was just a place where I would talk about what I was doing with my pool company called The Sales Lion. And The Sales Lion ended up getting momentum, an audience, and more people saying, hey, I want to do that with my company. And so it became its own company, its own brand. And today I get to travel around the world and talk to cool people like you and tell this story and also help people to become the trust agents of their field.
The trust agents, would that be another way to be like the thought leader kind of a thing? Or
yes, that's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. You know, there's an amazing stat right now, Bill, that Forrester Research and a few others have come out with that I think is so profound, and I think it's fundamental really to this conversation, and that is on average today, 70% of the buying decision is made before someone talks to a salesperson or someone within the company. 70%. Now, keep in mind, this started as a B2B study, not even a B2C, a B2B study. And it's profound because we've always, in the history of sales and marketing, we've always seen everything as what was happening after the person started talking to a salesperson, after the prospect started talking to a salesperson. But where all the sales is actually happening today, it's before that prospect ever even comes in contact with that company in the sense of face-to-face. And, of course, it's happening online, and that's why businesses have to embrace this incredible, incredible shift.
So this is where the consumers have come to. They've become researchers, and they're looking for leadership and ideas from people. And so what you're saying is that people that are smart in their fields will position themselves as those experts and those thought leaders, and that creates a whole bunch of trust because you're parlaying knowledge instead of trying to make a sales pitch to people. Is that what it boils down to?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bill. So let me give you an idea of how it works with swimming pools, and this is applicable to everybody, B2B, B2C, service, product. It's the same philosophy. And if you look at some of the greatest other larger companies, larger brands, they've done the same thing. So with River Pools, we said, okay, let's write down every single question in a brainstorm that we've ever gotten from a prospect. And it was hundreds of questions. And then we said, okay, why don't we answer every single one of these one by one on our website? Now, that would be called a blog article or video, but it's just another page of your website. But the thing was, Bill, is we addressed questions that nobody wanted to address. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We wrote an article in 2009 that was simply titled, How Much Does a Fiberglass Pool Cost? Well, at that time, no swimming pool company wanted to address that question on their website. Why? Well, they were afraid of the same thing all businesses are afraid of. Well, I don't want to give that information away to my competitors. Oh, I don't want to scare somebody away. Oh, I don't want to back myself into a corner. But we said our philosophy is they ask, you answer. We're going to talk about this. We're going to teach people, you know, what will drive the cost up, what will drive it down. We'll give them some overall ranges. And because we did this thing, and I don't have time to go into the whole science behind it, but we have advanced analytics with our website, and we can track how we get our leads. In other words, what page brought them to the website, and which one of those people turned into a sales appointment, which ones actually bought a pool. And that one single article, Bill, that we wrote in 2009 has generated over $2.5 million in revenue for the company. $2.5 million dollars that we would not have had we not been willing to address that question that nobody is willing to address. And, you know, I've done polls all over the country now, all over the world, when I speak and we talk about subjects that business don't like to talk about, for example, on their website. Cost is the number one. But if you think about the first thing that you start asking and researching when you go online, Bill, when you're ready to buy something that you're not, you know, overly familiar with, is you want to know how much it is. And the companies that are willing to have that conversation, they're going to earn the trust. They're going to earn the first contact. And because of that, they're probably going to earn the sale.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of let's think about some of the biggest things people buy are cars. I mean, the most expensive things people buy are
beautiful
cars.
Beautiful example.
Swimming pools will probably be up there too. But they've always led off with a minimum price on cars to give people kind of that range. I mean, a lot of times these days they'll tell you what the payment's going to be, not what the car costs, right? That's where they lead off. But
if you look at cars, Bill, it's amazing what's happened with that industry, okay? We buy cars completely different today than we did just 10 years ago. And all these auto dealerships, frankly, for lack of a better term, they're just kind of screwed. Because if you look at the way they've done their business, they have built auto dealerships together on highways. Now, why did they do that for all those years? They did it because what the consumer used to do is they would hop from dealership to dealership, seeing who gave them the best, quote, deal. Well,
right.
That's not the way that we buy a car today. This is how we buy a car today. We research, we identify the car, the model of the car that we want. And then we identify one, two, maybe three dealers that carry that specific car. And then we buy that car and we do not dealer hop anymore. And so that's why it's a very, very flawed business model. It's also why you've had companies like CarMax, which is an amazing company, the most transparent used car company in the world. They're the ones that started the no-haggle pricing. People hate haggling, like 99% of the world hates to haggle, and for some reason the used car industry thought it was a great idea for 50 years. So CarMax said, no, we're not going to do that. So they stopped it. They also said, we're going to offer a 5-day money-back guarantee on all of our used cars, which was unheard of at the time. And they also offered this incredible inspection that they showed the people that came into the retail stores so as to eliminate the fear of buying a lemon. And because of that, do you realize right now CarMax sells thousands of cars a month without people actually test driving the vehicle? I mean, think about that. And it's about this incredible amount of trust that is happening before you talk to the salesperson. And that's why you've got to become what I believe is the Wikipedia of your space. I should be able to come to your website right now. I should have every question answered. And if you answer them, and if you're honest, and if you're not biased, I just might fall in love with you, and I just might call you, and then I might give you my money.
Mm-hmm. But if you don't, if you're withholding all of that information, then they're probably going to go look for someone who is giving them that information, because that's what the consumer is looking for, is to fulfill to answer their questions. That's what you're saying, right?
So it's a great point. One of the questions I love to ask audiences all the time, I'll say, okay, so how many of you have by show of hands, how many of you have researched how much something cost online over the past year? And everybody will raise their hand. And then I say, well, when you are on a website and you can't find how much that thing cost, what is the emotion you experience? And everybody says, frustrated, all at one time. I'm like, well, so why do you feel frustrated? And they're like, well, they're hiding it from me, Marcus, and it's my time, and it's my right to know, and I'm the customer. And they go on and on. They tell me how serious they are about this and how it's their right to know. And then I'll ask the whole room, so how many of you talk about cost and price on your website? And then everybody all of a sudden gets silent and realize, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now I have
a
conflict. Because we as consumers want it a particular way. But then as businesses, we try to change that. It's the ultimate antithesis of do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and it doesn't make sense. I can tell you this. The business is no longer in charge of the sales process. The customer is, the consumer is, and therefore the businesses that are selling in the way the consumer wants to be sold to, like CarMax, for example, they're the ones that are reinventing their space.
Well, it's a good point, and there is a psychology to it as well, because even in, let's say, airline prices, I went to book tickets just the other day and I found what I thought was the cheapest provider. Then I found out that they now charge for carry-on luggage, not just for bags I check, but bags I'm carrying on. And by the time I was finished, I checked out of that website angry because they sucked me in with a low price. And that's what a lot of people are doing. With just about everything, is here's the basic offering, because consumers are still going to price shop. If everybody shows price, they're still going to price shop, aren't they?
Well, I think the idea that everybody does just price shopping, I think that is certainly not the case. I do think price matters to almost everybody, but rarely is price the only decision that matters. For example, I fly a lot. You know, I just fly a lot. And I don't always choose the lowest price. The reason for that, of course, is because I know that some airlines stink and other ones don't. Not every flyer understands that. But I can tell you this. And let me just tell you a couple things that will blow your mind just from a numbers sake, because it's hard for people to fathom the power of information. You know, our average, you know, I'm not a pool guy anymore. I'm a silent partner with River Pools. Now I just, you know, teach companies about sales and marketing. But as a pool guy, I share these stats because it's so very, very relevant. So in 2013, we sold 95 fiberglass swimming pools, which is a lot. But because of advanced analytics, we know the average number of pages our customers viewed before they bought. Now, if I asked you, if I just said to you, Bill, how many pages of our website do you think the average pool buyer read before they bought? What would your guess be? Just take any guess, you know, whatever your gut tells you.
Pages of your website, three or four?
Okay, three or four is what most people would say. And I'm here to tell you that the answer is actually 105. Now, your natural response is, Marcus, that's unbelievable. And I would have said to you 6 years ago, there's no way. If you come to me, Bill, 6 years ago, and you said, Marcus, do you realize your average customer would be willing to read over 100 pages of your website before they buy? I'd have laughed at you. I'd have said, you don't understand what you're talking about. You don't understand my business. You don't understand my buyer. I'd have said all these things because as businesses, we grossly underestimate people's willingness to become comfortable with a buying decision through information. Now, in 2009, when we started this process of They Ask, You Answer, our website was 25 pages. But you see, every night for two straight years, I would take a question I heard during the day about a fiberglass pool, and I would answer it as honestly and as transparently as possible on our website. And each answer was a new article, a new page to the website. Now, today, the website's 975 pages. So you look at it, they've only read a tenth of our website. But the point is, if somebody's read 100 pages of my stuff, do you think they're going to, you know, sit there and complain about the fact that we might be 5% higher than others? Rarely do they. And if they do, they're probably not the best fit anyway.
Now, is there a correlation between the size of the ticket and the amount of research that people will do? So, I mean, if someone's looking for a small, you know, something that costs under $500, are they still going to do that amount of research, do you think?
It's a great question. I think it more correlates with value than price. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, okay? So you value your cell phone significantly. Your cell phone only costs about $200, $250. Notwithstanding, let's say you're debating between an iPhone and a Samsung. Well, I know this happens all the time. I've done the studies on this. I've read the reports. Many, many people read over 50 pages online comparing, going to articles comparing those two phones because they don't know which one they want to get. right? And so you say, wow, how is that possible? It's because they value the thing. Now, I definitely do, though, think the more money somebody spends, the more content they're willing to consume. It's the same thing, like, you may have heard a stat before for businesses that says, you know, if you're going to do video marketing and produce videos, you shouldn't go over 3 minutes for the video. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's a terrible, terrible stat, and here's why. Because let's say, hypothetically, just last night, Bill, you made a decision like, you know, I think I might want to get a swimming pool this year. Well, you probably don't want to watch a video right now more than 3 minutes, but let's say tomorrow you're thinking about writing a pool guy a check for $50,000 for your pool. Are you willing to watch a video that's 3 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 hours? The answer is quite possibly yes. And that's because you're at a different place in the buying process. You're at a different place in the funnel. And so a lot of these stats that we hear completely miss the mark, because what really matters is, yes, like you said, the price of the thing, the value of the thing, and where they are in the buying process of that thing.
That's great information. So there are various stages in the buying process. We all know that. In the early stages, they might want the 3-minute video just to whet their appetite. Yeah. But when they're really thinking about writing that check, they're going to want to do even more research, check things out. But to your point, what you're saying, I think, is very valid, and that is, if you're in an industry that has been ignoring the price component or ignoring giving out information, you need to think about changing that practice so that you're a front leader, a front runner in that practice, so that people start looking at you as a thought leader, as a company that's willing to give out that information when others still fear it.
Beautiful point. Like, if anybody's listening to this right now, I want you to do me a favor. All right, so there's certain major questions and concerns that all consumers have when buying a swimming pool, and we'll just use that as a simple example, but hopefully everybody that's listening to this can apply to their business because it's the same principle. So if you're buying a fiberglass swimming pool or thinking about it, you have a couple of major questions and concerns. Now, generally, most pool companies don't want to address these questions, but I want you to go online and I want you to Google these questions. So the first one might be, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? The next one might be, fiberglass versus concrete pools, which is better? The next one might be, what are the biggest problems with a concrete pool? A fiberglass pool. The next one might be, do fiberglass pools look cheap? And on and on and on. Every single one of those, if you research them online, I'm probably the first guy that you're going to read. And the reason is because we said, I don't care if the question sounds good, bad, or ugly. We're going to answer it. And we're not going to exaggerate, and we're certainly not going to lie. We will come out and say, you know what, a fiberglass pool is not for everybody. Might not be for you. Might not be long enough. Might not be deep enough. Might not be wide enough. They don't get longer than 16 by 40. They don't get deeper than 8 feet. And we can't customize them any way you want. But if we do have a shape or size that fits your needs, and you're looking for something less than 16 by 40, then it might be a great fit for you. But the reality is this. Every consumer right now has this amazing, you know, you can call it almost like a BS meter, where they're reading something online, watching something online, and within seconds they say, I trust that company or I don't. They seem shady or they seem honest. They get me or they don't get me. And the idea is that your company takes the time to think exactly like the consumer and understand exactly the questions they ask, the way that they search, the way that they think, the way that they feel, and then you're willing to address them in their language, not in your language, as the business.
Marcus, great information, great tips today. I'm talking with Marcus Sheridan of the Sales Lion. And Marcus, how do they get in touch? How do our listeners get in touch with you and tell us about your ebook?
Well, you know, if you really want to understand the principle of they ask, you answer, and what's happening in this amazing digital age that we're a part of, whether it sounds exciting or not, it's where we are, and we've got to embrace it. And you can go to the salesline.com. So it's the sales, S-A-L-E-S, lion, L-I-O-N.com. Now there, I've got a free ebook. It doesn't cost anything. Literally, you can download it in seconds. It took me a couple years to write. But if you read that, I think you'll love it. And you can find me, of course, at thesaleslion.com or on Twitter at thesaleslion, and you know, it's, or just type in pool guy marketing, and I'm sure I'll probably show up there too.
Well, you bring a lot of enthusiasm and great ideas to the presentation, and I can tell why you're such a sought-after Vistage speaker. So thanks so much for joining us today, Marcus. And, you know, let's get together again some other time and get deeper into some of these topics, because I think we just began to scratch the surface today.
My absolute pleasure, Bill. Thank you so much.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this, so please stay with us. Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.